based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transmerged to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu. 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Japa. Badang Pujebe. Damang Pujebe. Sanghang Pujebe. Okay, you all can be seated. As usual, we are off the line, then we can have our half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So, as far as the meditation is concerned, the posture is up to you. Whichever posture that you are comfortable with, you can use it. You can sit and cross your leg on a cushion. That will be more conducive. But you can't, don't worry. You can just sit on a chair or a couch or just lie down. As long as your physical body and mind is relaxed, then silence everything. Remember the four support that I always share with you all. When you apply this four support, it will help you and support you to develop this inner awareness. So awareness-based meditation is to start with the development of the inner awareness or ability to be aware from within. We call it mindfulness or sati. Sati is awareness before the knowing. When you are completely silent without thought, that is awareness, that is sati. But when thought starts to arise, means you become lost in thought. You are no longer aware. Means the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the thought process has started. So to meditate is to develop this understanding, so that when you develop the understanding to meditate, you know how to do it. So the first support, like I said, relax body and mind. So once you are in a proper posture, whether sitting on a cushion or on a couch or a chair, then relax. The first support is relax body and mind, completely relax. Relax means at ease, no problem at all. Then no need to do anything. Don't even try to know, because the one thing to know and the one thing to do is always by the thought process. So you can completely relax and don't do anything means maintain awareness, which is the second support. Maintain awareness means whatever that arises within your six sense basis, whether it's hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought process, or thinking, you just acknowledge it, means aware, finish. Aware, finish. No need to know. And continue to relax, maintain awareness. Then stabilize it. The third support is to stabilize this awareness through constantly developing this ability to just be aware, 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 until the mind slow down, until the thinking become like very slow, very quiet. Then suddenly you will go through a sudden change or shift in consciousness that allow you to understand when the mind is without thought, completely silent, it is just the awareness nature within, the tranquility, the stillness. It's like suddenly you experience a quiet mind, a very tranquil and still state of mind. And that is your true mind, your silent mind, your meditative mind, which is just awareness. But from there, because of your habits, thinking arise very fast, because you are a living being with the senses, with the consciousness trapped inside. So the moment you become curious, the thought will arise, even the question like internal dialogue. What is this? That is the thought already. So be aware of all this. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Just relax. Maintain awareness until it stabilizes. Then make use of this mind, the meditative mind, which is the awareness within, to develop the meditative understanding, the wisdom. On your own, you will understand many things when this awareness nature stabilizes. Okay, with this, I will let you meditate on the own. I will set the alarm for 30 minutes. Then after that, you all can continue with your awareness-based meditation. Okay. Okay, you all can come out from your meditation and try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the meditative mind state that will help you develop the stability of awareness in the midst of life. So when you can do it, means you have the ability to develop what we call the daily mindfulness, means ability to be in a state of constant awareness throughout the day while you live life. And that is the ultimate development. The daily mindfulness is the final real transformation. when you are so stable in your ability to be aware, until the awareness can be with you throughout the day when you are awake initially. Then later on, even as you go to sleep or rest your body, you can maintain awareness and develop the full ability to be aware throughout the 24 hours until the next day when the body like wakes up. Yeah. But the awareness never lapses. The awareness is there until the moment you become aware again. Because it's within. There is like you didn't sleep. You can do that. I will congratulate you. That is a great sign. You can do that means you have stability of mindfulness. You are already well developing your ability to be aware. Okay, now we turn to page 6 of the chanting book. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chakravalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhamman Muni Rajas Sunantu Sakamokkadam Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Dhammasvanan kalo ayang badanta. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo atassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Iti peso bhagava arahang sammasambuddho. Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana putto bhagavati. Swagato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko ehi paseko opadaiko pacatam veditabo vinohiti. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato savakasango. Nyayapatipanno bhagavato savakasango. Samicipatipanno bhagavato savakasango. Yaditam chatari purisa yogani atta purisa bhugala esa bhagavato savakasango. Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakkeneyo Anjali karaniyo anuttaram punya cetang lokasati sadu sadu sadu. Okay, you can visit that, and we shall continue our sharing from this book, The Wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 467. We will continue from where we stopped. We are supposed to discuss the six perfections or paramitas that the Mahayana Bodhisattva cultivate. So we have finished the first three, then we touch on the fourth one. So the six, as shown on the whiteboard. The first paramita is dana. Dana is like we have gone through generosity. So this generosity is a perfection, a paramita. So when you cultivate them, you're supposed to develop the stability of it until its final full perfection. Because it is a parameter, means it is something that you need to cultivate until full perfection. Cover the whiteboard, help me cover the whiteboard. Okay. Okay. Thank you. So, like you can see, the six perfection, they are in Pali called paramitas. The first one is, of course, the paramita of dana or generosity, which we have already gone through, the three types of dana. Then we have the second perfection, which is the perfection of morality or sila. Sila is very important. Without sila, there is no cultivation. Because sila is the foundation for the mind to develop. If you don't keep your sila or morality, then you will create a lot of unnecessary immoral activity of body, speech, and thought that can lead to karmic negativity. So the friction of it can bring about conditions which are very detrimental to the form and mind. You will have no peace. You will have a lot of problems leading to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and the lack of peace. That's why you cannot settle down, you cannot meditate, then you constantly have to attend to your karmic negativity, the problem that associate with all the negativity of action, speech, and thought process. So morality is very important. It's one of the most important way to avoid all evil. When you can avoid all evil, means you do not have to worry about your life. Means when you take care of karma, karma take care of your life. And to take care of karma, we need to keep the precepts. We need to observe moral values. We must not violate this nature's law of karma that governs life and existence. Because, as we all know, we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So that is the second parameter of perfection. Then the third one is kanti, or we call patient endurance born of wisdom. Without this patient endurance, our mental states are not restrained. When we don't have patient endurance born of wisdom, we tend to react to what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile, feel, and think. With this stirring of the mind, reaction of the mind to whatever we come to perceive, is a very negative tendency that will give rise to anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, negativity of mind state. So having this perfection of patience, endurance, or what we call Kanti, born of wisdom, is very important. When we have wisdom, our mind does not stir, does not react, does not create the negativity of mind state. And as we all know, anger, hatred, envy, jealousy, they are the evil roots of anger. And these are the evil roots that make us evil, bring about coming negativity, coming downfall. That's why we have to keep them. Then the fourth one is virya, or in English is translated as vigor, or spiritual zeal, spiritual tenacity to go this way. If we don't have this virya inside us, the spiritual tenacity or vigor or zeal, then we tend to be lazy. We tend to develop what they call sleepiness when we want to meditate. So they call it, the body is in a state of laxness or laziness. Yeah. So leading to what we call a very drowsy mind state. They call it a state of sloth and topper, like you slough off and want to topper off. Means sleepy, lethargic mind, sleepy mind. But when you have virya, it prevents your mind from becoming lazy or sleepy. Then we move on to the last two, is samadhi and panya. Samadhi is what we call collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind, the stability of mind. And when you have this, you can see things as they are. You can be in the state of awareness that is very stable. When your awareness develops until it's very stable, it becomes samadhi. So samadhi is a result of our ability to be aware and development of stability of that awareness nature within. And then it becomes samadhi. Then when there is wisdom, samadhi becomes equanimity, which is the seventh enlightenment factor. When you have this sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are and you develop wisdom. Wisdom can be developed under three circumstances. The Buddha called it the first turning, second turning, and the third turning, cultivation, leading to the three type of corresponding wisdom. Okay, we go back to the Master Shen Hua's commentaries. We see what Master Shen Hua shared. Vigor is the fourth perfection. It takes laxness or laziness across. Then Shen Hua asks, are you lazy? If you are lazy, then cultivate vigor, or what he call virya. So this one, I have already explained. It is to counter the lack of spiritual tenacity or zeal to go this way. That when we lack understanding, when we don't see the importance and urgency of cultivation, then we tend to neglect. That's why without this virya, we cannot cultivate. And how does virya come to be? Virya come about from the result of cultivating saddha. When we have saddha, faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through knowing who the Buddha is, how unique a being he is, and how special the teaching he has given to the world. That understanding transformed us, gave us a lot of faith, gave us a lot of what they call gratitude towards the Buddha. So when we have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, through understanding how great a being he is and how wonderful a teaching he has given us, is the Buddha is not only an enlightened being, he has perfected himself and has become the fully enlightened one, perfect in wisdom and virtue. I said, you can explain it in this way, that when he arrived 2600 years plus ago, he is the most virtuous and wisest living being ever to be born. That is how unique he is. Well, he has the full perfection of a fully enlightened one. So that one will give you faith to have such a great teacher to be your guide, to teach you. Your gratitude and faith towards him become very different, unshakable. And that will drive you to cultivate his teaching. And this teaching also very amazingly wonderful, because it's not really giving you an understanding or wisdom. It enables you to have the understanding of life, to live life, so that you need not suffer. It can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, so that living being need not go through life with suffering. So a life that is always peaceful, tranquil, meaningful, wonderful, free from suffering, that is the most beautiful. And this is what the Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma, the teaching is capable of offering us. So because of that, we will have a lot of what they call faith in him, and that will drive us to cultivate. That's what virya is. We go back to the notes. After virya, then we go on to the next perfection of paramita, which is dhyan samadhi. It's actually samadhi, but the Pahayana put in the word dhyan. And this is the fifth perfection. So they say this one is to counter the scatteredness of mind. Yeah, actually is the heedless thinking. Yeah, means this mind wander off very fast, cannot stay focused, cannot be in a state of samadhi. Means it's not collected and unwavering. It gets itself entangled with the phenomenal sense experience very fast, because it lacks wisdom, it lacks samadhi. So when you lack wisdom and samadhi, your mind becomes heedless, constantly lost in thought, not able to be in a state of samadhi. When you are in a state of samadhi, it means you are in a state of stability of awareness within. The thought does not arise, the mind does not waver or move, means there is no stirring of the mind. So this mind is like collected, unwavering. So that is the power of samadhi. And Senua asks, do you lack samadhi power? If you lack samadhi power, then you should cultivate this perfection of samadhi. If you do not cultivate it, you will never have it. So here I would like to point out a very important misconception and difference. Because before the true teaching arise, most people, when they cultivate, they are doing what they call concentration or samatha meditation. Concentration or samatha meditation is a different training where you go into one pointedness, then you fix the mind so that it does not wander off, it does not think. Then this one develops the one pointedness concentration or absorption, which they call also samadhi, but it's not born of a free mind. It's born of a conditioned state, energy field, where they use meditation object. They also use a lot of method and technique to actually focus, concentrate, and develop the absorption. So if you do that, then it develops into samatha, concentration with energy field. The energy will build up. And most people develop jhana. They are recorded in the teaching sutta. The first four types of form jhana. Then when you break free from the form jhana, means the thought-based jhana, you continue with the other four, which is called the arupa jhana, the formless jhana. So the form jhana, they start with what they call the five jhanic factors. They have what they call vitaka, vichara, then piti, then sukhang, ekagata. So these five jhanic factors are the factors of mind that they need to develop jhanas. So the first four jhana come from the thought. That's why the thought will start by developing what they call applied thought. Applied thought is vitaka. Then they sustain the thought there, whether it's an object of meditation or it's a one-pointedness or whatever skillful mean you are using, whether it's chanting or whatever. Then the applied thought and sustained thought make the mind like unwavering, unmoving, because everything is fixed into one point. That's why we call it vitaka, vichara, leading to the experiential mind state of piti. From there, when there is no thought movement, you experience piti, a very calm state of mind. They call it the spiritual blissfulness. Oh, sorry, not blissfulness yet. This one is spiritual, like calmness, a type of joy, spiritual joy, or they sometimes call it rapture. These two words, I always got it confused. One is rapture, one is rupture. This one is concerning the mind state one. Like you experience a type of strong, intense joy, like rupture, not rapture. Rapture means break. Rupture means RU, rupture. You experience that type of joy, very strong. Then as you continue to relax and maintain the one-pointedness concentration, then it becomes more refined and you experience a lot of bliss. They call it sukhang. So when you experience sukhang, that blissfulness is very strong, really, really blissful. The whole body like very blissful. The entire mind experience so blissful. Then after that, you continue to relax into it and maintain that practice, or we call it the one-pointedness concentration. Then it develops into the last, what they call jhanic factor of ekagata. Ekagata means the one-pointedness of mind. So these are the five jhanic factors that allow you to develop. Then as you develop and become more skillful, you experience the first jhana. Then after that, the first two jhanic factors, vitaka, vichara, they will drop away because it's like too gross already. then you experience the third, what they call jhana factor, piti. Then after that, piti also become like too gross. Then you drop it. Then you realize the third jhana, you stay in sukha. Then later on, sukha also too gross. You drop it. Then you stay in ekagata. Ekagata means one pointedness of mind. Here, the mind become like no thought, but full of energy. It's not a free mind. It's not in the state of awareness. Then sometimes they go in with continuous mindfulness. They went too deep. It become apana samadhi. Apana means it has gone beyond the threshold into absorption. It has into that calm state. If you go into apana, then if it's true mindfulness, then you can have awareness within that, but it's not the free mind type. It's not the one that is like useful. You like aware inside, but you cannot move. You cannot come out. You cannot do anything. You cannot be like the daily mindfulness, the daily awareness. So all this, when you have the chance, you can experience it, but don't cling on to it, don't attach to it. What you need to do is when you go into this state, no matter how blissful, how wonderful that mind state is, sometimes they make use of the energy to develop psychic ability. But that one, please avoid. Because before the wisdom is there, you go into psychic, it can lead to deviation. Then it can get you into unnecessary trouble. They call it the defilements of insight. Then what you should do is you should release that samatha or concentration out until normal awareness, until you reach back to upacara samadhi, means the stability of samadhi before. Excuse me, before you enter apana. Apana means excess concentration. You have excess that absorption or strong concentration. But when you release it out to upacara samadhi, at that time, the thought can start to have a slight movement or activity again. So that one is very important. You can release it back to normal awareness, then you can develop the daily mindfulness and stabilize the sati, leading to the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. But before that, you need to develop what they call the initial wisdom, born of first and second turning wisdom. So constantly listening to the Dhamma, then reflect, contemplate, then inquire, and stabilize the understanding to develop the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. And once you develop that, then this mind, that is a free mind in sti, leading to samadhi, and that one can develop what they call the enlightenment. Once you develop that, then you stabilize your sati, then you develop the four type of clear comprehension to prevent you from debating. That one is step five of Avijja Sutta. Step four is the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. Then you develop step five, which is sati sampajana. Now, once you develop these two, then you will at least attain the first stage of sainthood or second stage of sainthood. Because the first stage of sainthood will be realized once you have this ability to have sense restraint. Means your daily mindfulness and initial wisdom is so stable that you cannot violate your precept already. Means you have sense restraint. You cannot break the five precepts already. That is step six of Avijja Sutta. Then after that, you continue to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path factors of right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood, including the four right effort, until they become very stable. And then you will develop the three types of right conduct. Means you will have right speech, right thought, and right action. These three, the three types of right conduct will be with you. And that is step seven of the Avijja Sutta. If you can realize that, you would have become a Sakadagami, at least. And then you cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. That's how the cultivation move. Okay? Then the other four type of jhana is the formless one. After you break free from the four form jhana, the jhanic factor no more. So you go into the mind. They call it the formless mind. No more the form jhana type of mind. So you move beyond the ordinary form jhana into the arupa state or the formless jhana. And that one starts with the fifth jhana, which is the realm of infinite space. Your mind like move into infinite space. Like space is infinite. Then that mind is like the oneness. Oneness. Yeah. Then after that, it continue to move on to develop more refined state of the sixth jhana. Yeah. So the sixth jhana is the realm of infinite consciousness. Yeah. Then after that, the seventh jhana, which is the realm of nothingness. Yeah. Then finally is the eighth jhana, the realm of neither perception or non-perception, where the mind has become so fine, so still. It's like you neither perceive or you don't perceive. It's like that mind is so subtle, so tranquil, so still. And they live very long. All the formless jhana, the beings who take birth there, they live very long, very, very long. They are talking about, I think the highest rhyme, if I'm not wrong, is about tens of thousands of, they call it aeons. So this measurement of existence is very, very long. One aeon already is so long. One world cycle. That one is, if I'm not wrong, is tens of thousands. So all these are possible because it's stated in the sutta taught by Sakyamuni. And I think those who do thought-based energy field, they can experience them. Okay, now we go back to the notes, the sharing. So Dhyan Samadhi I have completed. Yeah. Then now we go move on. Huh? So Xianhua said, if your mind is scattered, means you are not able to develop the Samadhi, the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind, the stability of awareness within, then you should cultivate this Samadhi power. And the Samadhi power comes from stability of awareness based meditation. So to do it, you must develop Sati first. Initially, when you develop Sati, like the four support to develop awareness based meditation, you develop them. Then you stabilize them until they become very stable, until you become like ever mindful. Yeah. Then use that to cultivate constantly meditative, leading to heedfulness. When you are heedful throughout the day, means you have samadhi. Before you have heedfulness, the samadhi may not be strong. But when your samadhi stabilizes, the awareness nature within stabilizes, then it becomes dhyana samadhi. So when this samadhi is developed, it can allow you to see things as they are, to awaken. Then the wisdom that arises will support you to develop what they call the last factor of enlightenment, so that in future you don't need samadhi to stay peaceful. Wisdom can free your mind and allow you to break free. That's why the last enlightenment factor of equanimity or upeka is very important. You must have the wisdom factor. So once this sixth perfection, wisdom, is developed, then that equanimity or upeka, seventh enlightenment factor, can arise. And when that one arises, you are always at peace, no matter what happens. You don't need samadhi power to stay peaceful. Yeah. That wisdom connected to your nature can make you peaceful. Okay, I read on. The last of the six perfections is wisdom. What does wisdom take across? Of course, it's, here's Chen Hua used the word stupidity. It's actually ignorant, no? Or delusion, self-delusion. If you have wisdom, your delusion will turn to wisdom. If you have no wisdom, your wisdom will not be there. Means it is still stupidity or delusion. It is one thing, but it goes by tuning. So actually, it's either or. Either you are deluded or you have wisdom. Without wisdom, you are deluded, heedless. So the other five perfection works the same way. Patience is simply the transformation of anger. This is a summary. Vigor is the transformation of laziness or sloth and torpor. Then dhyana samadhi is the transformation of scatterness of mind or heedless mind. It's just a matter of making the transformation. And if you break precept, but then keep them, you have transformed your precept breaking into morality. So this one is the same, it's a opposite path. When you have morality, sila, you cannot break precept. It's either or. So giving is the transformation of what they call stinginess or lack of generosity. So this one is selfishness, stinginess. You lack a generous heart. So you cannot part with anything. It's just because you cannot let go that you cannot obtain things. So this one is indirectly telling you the law of karma. If you want to get things, you must first develop the dana parami by giving. If you do, then you will receive. If you do not give, you cannot receive. Yeah, this is the nature's law. So the law of karma is very difficult to comprehend, because when we talk about generosity, means under the worldly sense in a society, it's like we are very generous. We are willing to donate, to give, to like offer, to help people. So this act of generosity is like you give. But karmically, the nature's law, you reap what you sow. So whatever you give actually is your dana parami. And you will receive them because you reap what you sow. Whatever you give, you will receive. So if you give life, if you give materialistic wealth, if you give kindness, generosity, whatever virtue that can bring about good life, help people, transform society, improve the environment, and all this. All this is your dhanaparami. You reap what you sow. In future, you will reap them. Yeah. All this will come back to you. All the good things that you have made possible for the world, for people, for humanity, for the environment, they will come back to you. That's why you reap what you sow is the moral causation of law of karma. So this law of karma is very difficult to comprehend, but for those who understand, they will know. So the Buddha always used these simple words. You reap what you sow, do good begets good, do evil begets evil. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you will reap the fruit of wholesomeness. Which means, whatever you do to people, all your evil deeds, all your selfish intent, all your whatever delusion that brings about suffering, misery, fear, insecurities, and a lot of life-related negativity, you will end up reaping them. You reap what you sow. Means you become the victim in the future. Whatever you do to people, you end up as victim. People do back to you. Like you cause people suffering. You cause people a lot of fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, and misery. All this will come back to you. So when you understand this moral causation deep, after you have developed the perfection, you will never, never violate it, because it's never worthwhile. I remember in the initial years of my cultivation, it keep on showing it to me, that this thing is nature's law, not worthwhile to break. No, the sign keep on coming. Because when you are near to the awakening stage before you become enlightened, they keep on showing you that all these are not worth breaking. The slightest thought that arises before it even takes shape, the effect will come. That's why you can't. So at the thought level, you will be very mindful. Then you will be very heedful. You will not allow all this to arise. Okay, then we move on. Stinginess. You really do not want to part with that money, do you? Give money is like cutting off your own blood. To part with a penny brings a pain to your heart and a pain to your liver. So this is Zhen Huo's way of expressing it. So these six perfections must be cultivated in order to realize Buddhahood. Means the six perfections are cultivated by the Bodhisattvas of the Mahayana tradition. The Theravada tradition, they cultivate the 10 paramitas or perfections. Cultivating blessings and virtue. By cultivating the six perfections, you actually cultivate blessing and wisdom. So this is true. The perfection of all the great beings, the Sammāsambuddha, they only cultivate to perfect their blessings and virtue. So this one, I think by now, Kayamita should have the understanding. Blessings and virtue are very important. Both must be developed. Because if you focus one-sided, means you only focus on developing wisdom to become enlightened, then you neglect blessing, then you will be lacking in merit, in blessings. The life will not be complete. But when you have both blessings and wisdom, then your life is complete, beautiful. And a lot of cultivators of the way, especially Buddhists, I realize they like to cultivate just blessing. They want to do good, merits, dana, and all things. So they make a lot of this type of what they call the fifth patriarchal tinted merits. Because before you become enlightened, actually all this so-called goodness, generosity, or wholesomeness of doing good, they are not real good. They are tinted because the sacrality is still there. The delusion is still there. And most of the time it's good according to the individual. It's not the one that has the understanding. Because before the wisdom arises, whatever you do is still tinted with what they call the subtle greed, the subtle delusion. So this is where the difference is. When you cultivate, you must cultivate both blessings and wisdom together. And once your wisdom develops, true blessing arise. Because, like I always say, the true virtue only arise when wisdom has been developed. Otherwise, there is no real virtue. Without wisdom, there is no real virtue. It's inside the unique code. You can go and read it up. Okay, we go back to the notes. So cultivating blessing and wisdom is very important. When you cultivate the six perfection, you develop blessings and wisdom. So people such as these, they are called great beings. They have all realized the Buddha's power. Then Shenhua explained, he said, figure it out. How long did it take them to cultivate the six perfection and the 10,000 conducts in order to realize Buddhahood? So this one is very interesting. So he said, in the beginning, they cultivate good on a small scale. You understand? Means before the wisdom come. But it continued to build up until it was a great amount of goodness. Means after you had developed the initial wisdom, then your merits or goodness starts to become more and more, more and more. Then from one act of goodness, many acts of goodness grew. Then from the cultivation of one blessing, many blessings comes to be cultivated. Then when both blessings and wisdom were cultivated or perfected, they accomplished Buddhahood. This is how you do it. That's why I say persevere. Be sincere, have faith, persevere. Then everything will fall into place. Now we are beginning to cultivate. None of us know how many lives we have cultivated previously. And this one, unless you are great beings, most of you may not know how long you have cultivated. But no matter how many lifetimes one might have been cultivating, whether one has in fact cultivated at all in the past, one should still cultivate. One cannot not cultivate. You cannot say, for example, since I did not cultivate in former life, I might as well forget about doing it now. That way, you will never have any blessing or wisdom. If you did not cultivate in former life, you should start cultivating now. If you did cultivate in former life, you should continue to cultivate now. You should not worry about whether or not you have planted blessing and wisdom in former life. In this present life, we have encountered the Supreme Buddha Dharma, and we should certainly begin and be vigorous and brave right up until we become Buddhas. That's why perseverance, diligent, at which time we can consider our work finished, means the perfection done. So this one is a very good sharing. I think we will stop here. I will mark this page. Maybe I have page 468. So this one I think is another part of the sutra. So I will maybe just summarize what we have covered today. Today we have covered the six perfection or paramitas, which is dana, sila, kanti, virya, samadhi, and panya. And these are the perfection that we need to not only cultivate, we need to perfect it until it become a perfection, a paramita. That's why the cultivation of bodhisattva is very different. It's not the superficial cultivation of all this virtue and blessing like dana, sila, kanti, virya, samadhi, and panya. Is the perfection of it all. We have to develop the understanding of it, the perfection of it, to realize the full perfection. And then only that wisdom can manifest. That's why without blessing, there is no causes and condition for the development of wisdom. Then without wisdom, there is no real virtue. So all these are interrelated, connected. That's why as you cultivate, you will develop all this understanding. And your understanding will become very different. It's like your understanding is born of extensive cultivation, perfection, understanding. You have gone through a lot. That's why, because of that, that nature has become so different. It's like it has perfected all this understanding. Well, all the possibility, you have seen them, you have realized them, you have gone through them, you have experienced them. That's why that cultivation is so different. It's so extensively different. Because it's really very extensive. It's different from the sainthood way. The sainthood way is, pardon me for saying that, it's really much, much more easier. Much more, like, to me, it's like more superficial. You only need to know enough to free your mind, to liberate your mind, to realize the enlightenment, the sainthood way. Leading to even Arahantship, the rooting out of the 10 fetters means no more avijja, no more ignorant, the enlightenment in the here and the now. Then you can end your cultivation and practice. Then you cease, you don't have to come back to this existential world to take birth and continue with the what they call samsaric activity or phase of living, birth and death. They call it samsara, the cycle of birth and death. No need. But if you want to completely develop the understanding of life and develop the what they call the full understanding, means the perfection of it all, then you should go the Bodhisattva way. It's very rewarding. And that cultivation is so different, so extensive, so much more extensive. And the perfection took so long. That's why after that, every arising through that Bodhisattva way, through understanding, through wisdom, no longer take birth born of ignorance. means you choose to come. That coming is very beautiful. That one is born of wisdom, born of the pure mind, full of love and compassion, complete with the understanding. That's why you take the Bodhisattva vows. Then you understand your karmic nature, your spiritual nature. Then you know how to blend them in, and you know how to evolve and become beautiful. Then every life you come, that segmented life is so beautiful, so meaningful. That's why in the Heart Sutta is mentioned, when you realize true emptiness, existence become wonderful. Zhen kong miao you. True emptiness is wonderful existence. And that is really true. That's why I always say, when you have all this understanding, the perfection and the cultivation, then life become beautiful, meaningful. Means you understand the unconditioned and the conditioned Dhamma. So both the unconditioned and the conditioned Dhamma, when you understand them, you become very different. Then you know how to come. And you know what life is, existence is. Then all the form in my segmental life become very beautiful, very wonderful. And it's like the word, very rewarding, really rewarding.
Good evening. Good evening.
Yeah, good evening. Yeah.
So glad, Brother Teo, sharing with us about this Dhamma, which is, I wouldn't say the Mahayana, but I will say this is the true teaching of the Buddha.
Yeah.
So if I may, I also have got a chance to meet up with Master Song Hua. In fact,
Sadhu. Did you take refuge under him?
I was staying near to Hobing Temple, and his first trip to Malaysia was to Hobing Temple, invited by
correct.
And my mom was helping, in the morning preparing breakfast for master and the disciples. So I got a chance. I think I was 12 years old. One early morning, 5:30 a.m. I was there just to help out. So I got a chance.
Yeah. That temple is in KL. Yeah. I remember very long time ago. Yeah.
And of course, I do not know about Buddhism then.
And
I started, it was all more about the Theravada. Somehow, I did read a bit, but I can't understand. But just lately, the last 6-7 years, when I really read about the Heart Sutra, things came to me. So maybe I would like to share about Buddhist Awards.
Good, Sadhu,
I think Buddhist Awards are actually enlightened beings. They are like Brother Teo said, they are great beings, which actually they are because they already realize that the cause of suffering, which is our ignorance and craving and all that.
Yes.
So it's kind of realize the whole world we are living in a delusion. So the realization, of course, they are already kind of enlightened as being like an arahant.
However, they have gone beyond.
I think Buddha noticed that. And then he was telling these great beings, Arahant or those which have seen the cause of suffering, that have departed from the samsara. But then he was saying there are still a lot of people still are ignorant, still deluded, embarrassed, still like in our sahava.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
He himself, I think 500 lifetime was which is perfecting the six paramitas, through Buddhahood. He was kind of like telling those great beings, you know, that they should also make exploration, make vows, and then to perfect these six paramitas. So I think because of that, of course, when they make vows and when we meet up this Buddhist sawas, they actually they realize that I think Brother Teo always said the egoistic mind. I think they're really out of the egoistic mind. They are in a pure mind. So they have then because of having this pure mind, what is that fear to come to the worldly world?
Yes,
help, because all those are just a delusion.
This is
a delusion, and you know this is just like a dream, you know, and you're just trying to help people with the Dharma, just to awaken them. That's exactly what Brother Teo is doing. And just now you mentioned, I think the perfecting of the parameters, or you know, taking the vows of the Buddhist vows, it's not a vow, it's actually the action, no? Action, which is actually basically what they call exploring the Dharma. Of course, you know, understanding ourselves, we make effort to understand the true teaching of the Dharma, then expounding it, and then finding ways and methods and all that, because they are already selfless already. I, you know, they also already understand
the ego no more.
No more anatta and all that.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is that what is there to fear, or what is there that, I mean, for us, we still have got this I ego. That's mean you don't
that's
get anything,
why the Puttajana think differently. We have the thought
For them, they don't have this feeling.
No more.
Selfless, you know, whatever they
beyond.
Do is
that to
just
them
thinking
is
about
very
the
clear.
Others.
It's very clear
and,
that all this are not what you think. The nature within that can develop all this understanding and perfection is so different. That's why they go in. They develop the inner transformation. It's no more just the superficial awakening.
And I also because
of sainthood way. I
met other
you
friends.
Continue. Yeah. Continue.
Other friends which are the you know, kind of like the you know, doing the Theravada part. And then they also make comments like wow, how can make such a wow, like wow, that to save all the beings in hell being a Buddha. But then after that, a brother which is a Mahayanist, he explained to me, and I saw that he was saying that this is what the, you know, we do the exploration. Even now we do exploration doesn't mean we able to become a Buddha, but then we are
you
making
may
a
not
part.
make it.
Just like a student, I think like Brother Teo student. When you're in high school, you think of being an engineer. You're not an engineer, but then this is your exploration. Then you are working towards that. You
That's
know,
why
so
you have to
doesn't mean
work.
That we are not a Buddha, but we can make an exploration.
Yeah,
or a Buddhist
you
or
have
while,
to
we can
work
make an
from
exploration.
basic understanding to slowly evolve this understanding. Where is very different. Before you reach that level of cultivation, you cannot understand. It's just like we always share. If you only completed lower secondary or primary six, you cannot understand the syllabus of those in form five, form six. Then to understand those who go to the uni and all those things, I mean, as an analogy, if you are not there, you cannot understand. In fact, a lot of people doesn't understand that the primary school education is very basic. So our primary school is like the sainthood way. Then when you go to lower secondary, there are more things, but it's still rather basic. But when you go to form 4, form 5, and form 6, you study a lot more. But then when you go to uni, you specialize. You go into specific field, certain specific courses of study that you feel like excelling in and all those things. So in a way, it's quite similar. If you have not gone through the secondary school education, the upper six, lower six, or we call it the pre-U, then the university, then the tertiary education, where you do your higher master and PhD and all that. Unless you have been through, you cannot understand. So all
well,
this,
I think this expiration, I mean, from my a bit of my experience, this expiration earlier, you know, I just thought, oh, making such a wow. But this expiration, if you do it with understanding and sincerity,
yeah,
it's actually very mystical, you know.
Yeah,
in the sense,
mystical, very mystical.
In the
That word is
sense,
correct.
You are like what you mentioned, and I also experienced, like able to hear your talk, is it? By chance, it's not by chance, you know.
Yeah.
It's actually something, some kind of energy, there are beings or some situation that helped you or make it possible, you know.
Yeah,
Somehow,
that's what
you know, I'm just trying to tell, maybe to share to all our Karamitra, that, you know, if we do this exploration of wounds, this great beings, which they are very kind, caring, compassion, and they are very wise.
Yes.
They know how to help you, and they
Yeah,
will help you.
yeah, yeah. Very
You know,
true,
somehow
very
they you know, some of the things you kind of confused or what, then
yeah,
suddenly,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
you got a chance. Hey, Brother Teo is talking what I was seeking, you know. So
Yeah, yeah.
it's
Because
just like
the
that.
great beings can help. Actually, when you are sincere, when you have the faith, actually a lot of things manifest. That's why I say they are there to help all the cultivators of the way. So cultivators of the way, they are ever radiating their nature's energy, wisdom, blessing, protection to you, provided you have that sincerity, that faith in them. Then you pay respect. By paying respect, even basic respect to all these great beings, you cultivate affinity with them. And the affinity is very important. Then when you pay respect to Triple Gem, you cultivate affinity with all the great beings. The Triple Gem are all the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. The Sangha, the enlightened disciple of the Buddha, they cover all the sainthood way until the Bodhisattva, the great beings. Then, of course, together the Buddha, they form the whole hierarchy of enlightened beings. So the Dhamma is where the teaching is. So when we take refuge in Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, we cultivate affinity with all these great beings, including the Bodhisattvas, the Buddha, and also all his teaching that has the wisdom, the understanding, and the Dhamma. And that's how powerful all this affinity can bring about. So the basic Theravada tradition taught by the Buddha actually allow the cultivator to slowly, slowly develop the understanding and assimilate themselves into all this. So first, like he said, you must have puja, pre-puja, post-puja. And what are puja? Devotional practice to develop the faith, to develop the virtue. So the faith and the virtue are very important. When you have faith, you will do all the 10 meritorious actions, like I explained. You come, you pay respect, then you renew your precept, and then you listen to Dhamma, you straighten your view, you share merit, you transfer merit, then you provide service and all that. So all the 10 meritorious actions, you have done them, and you also meditate, like our session, most of the time we have at this half an hour, sometimes 45 minutes. Then as you listen to the Dhamma, you develop the first turning wisdom. Then as you contemplate and reflect and inquire, you develop second turning wisdom. Then when you silence your mind, you meditate, and the turning wisdom is there. So dana sila bhavana, then you rejoice. Another meritorious action. Then you share merit, you transfer merit. Then you make offering, you radiate love, metta. Then the significance of offering, we offer to the altar every session, the physical offering. Like today, today I should actually add a bit. Sister Pamatsuri came all the way where she was helping out in one of the temple where they raise fund for Kwang San, Fa Ku San. So tomorrow is the new moon day. So she actually got this power at the back, the bouquet. Yeah, behind me. I hope you all can see. Yeah. Yeah, this one in the back. Yeah. So this one is offered by Pamasuri, I think, using Kaimita Fund. I hope she will reverse it. And this one is very meaningful. And the next 2 weeks, I think she'll be flying off to Taiwan, visiting one of the famous temple,
Lingjiu San.
So she will be there for 2 weeks with Brother Tiu. So our Thursday class will be cancelled for 2 weeks. Only Thursday class. Tuesday and Sunday will remain. So this is what Dana Parami is. When there is condition, it will manifest. Then our Kayamita Fund also make offering to that fundraising by Fahu Sanon. So a lot of Kaimita also make their separate offering. So all this Dana Parami that we can have the causes and conditions to partake in when we are with Kayamitas, with people who are walking the path of Dhamma, cultivating and doing all these things. So these are very good example of what all this virtue and blessing can be cultivated when we take refuge, when we attend all this Buddhist session, when we follow the advice of the Buddha to actually partake in all this so-called puja. So in the puja, you also renew your precept. You are doing a lot of wholesomeness. We chant the salutation to the Buddha, then the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. Then we also take refuge. Then we actually rejoice. We make offering. Then we pay respect. So all these are very wholesome. Then we have our Dhamma session. We listen to the Dhamma, straighten our view, rejoicing, transform merit, share merit. And all these are very meritorious, wholesome, and it has a lot of joy. And because of that, we accumulated a lot of what they call wholesomeness without most of you all realizing it. Only the cultivator of the way who have the understanding will understand all this. Yeah. So these are the what they call possibility. Yeah. Then for Beng Lim, the sharing, I think, based on your initial basic understanding, is good that you can develop the faith and the joy. That when you listen, like you say, it's sometimes like there are beings, great beings, helping you to develop the understanding. Because like you say in the early day, although you met Master Xuan Hua, you cannot understand the Mahayana teaching. But lately, the last 6-7 years, like you mentioned, you are able to like start thing to have the understanding and the what they call faith to actually go into all this and develop the understanding more and more. And maybe it's meant to be for you to encounter my teaching and all this sharing, and hope it will benefit you, huh, Winglip? Sadhu.
Have benefited a lot.
Ah, sadhu, very
just,
good.
I'm slow in learning. Normally your talks I have to listen a few times.
Yeah. Not only you. All Kayamita, they have been listening to it many times to develop the stability of understanding and the joy. What you say is very true. Huh?
I feel very happy to come tonight.
Wow, sadhu. Sadhu.
There's some happiness as I listen to.
Yeah, a lot of joy. Like Beng Li also.
Brother Yusa talk about karma, right?
Yeah. So, you reap what you sow.
I got two experiences.
Oh, sadhu.
The first one, like Brother always said that kalamitas, when they want to try to find for kapa.
Yeah.
Very easy, right?
Yeah.
But there were a few occasions, I don't know whether other people experience it. People look at me and they even tell me
where the kapa is. Yes, sadhu. Yeah, this will happen. Yeah. You will have people who will tell you, ah, sana ada kapa.
There was one point the lady was walking with the mother and she pointed to me, there's a kapa. Look and look, don't have. God, keep on pointing that. Then when I go there, really got kapa.
That's why there are a lot of what they call good people. Because this is from your parami. When you have that parami, when you help people, when the condition manifests, people will help you back. This is what Dhamma is, the law of karma is. Then when you experience all this, you have a lot of joy. Then your heart naturally becomes different. Next time, you're very helpful. Now you see people looking for kapha, you try that. I think I saw one kapha there. And they will go. Then otherwise, what I do is normally I will take my key. I say, you looking for kapha? Okay, you wait. My car is there. Oh, then they're very happy. They go in front way. Then I came out. Then they go in. Oh, like today, I went with my wife. Not today. Yesterday, I think we went for fish noodle SS4. So when we were there, actually, it's about to rain. About to rain. Then the cup are all full. Then we saw one group of people come out. I think three or four of them. Then they were walking towards my direction. Then I told my wife, I think they might be looking for their car. Then as I was about to move, they really went into their car. And their car was exactly parked next to where my car was. So actually, I went ahead already. Then because my wife and me saw them went into the car, my wife said, at the back, no car, no, can reverse. Oh, I was so surprised. I was actually two or three cars ahead already. So to reverse on a busy road is not possible. But really, no car, no, at the back. So I reversed all the way back, I think, until he can come out. It's quite a big car, that one. I think BMW 7 Series. A family of them, I think, three or four of them. So they came out. Then I just parked inside. And very good timing. Immediately after I parked, I walk over. It started to rain already. Then I enter the restaurant. It started to rain outside. Sometimes a lot of these things happen. My daughter also knows. She also witnessed. And a lot of Kayamita who travel with me or take me, they will know. I say, Brett, you're very lucky. Or the kappa will be there. There was one occasion, I remember. That time, early, I think 1990-something. And you know, Brickfield Temple. And normally they don't allow you to park inside or not. You want to park inside, you must come very early on. So normally on a busy day where they got this type of function or one full on, you cannot find kapak. So that day very strange. No? Somebody actually fetched me there. We supposed to visit that Brickfield Temple. Then when we reached there, he at first said, what about you full on, no kapak. I drop you first, then you go look for kapak. I said, never mind, you wait. Then suddenly, got one car. The driver came out in reverse. So we just parked inside there. Oh, it's pretty well, so lucky. Sometimes it's not luck. It's because it meant to be, will be. And a lot of these things happen. Not only to me, later on, a lot of Kaimita told me, even Gumoy also. He said, really, when you have the Dhamma, the understanding, the patience, you seem to have good condition to have all this. Then things like go your way, most of the time it's like you are very blessed and it gives you a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. So for your case also must be similar because you say you are so happy, so joyful. So finally you experience it. Sadhu to you, very good.
But yeah, it's true because I think back lah, how come so lucky?
Yeah.
That
is what parami is. That's why a lot of time I say it's not so much about luck, it's about your parami. Very good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because I think back and then I remember there were a few occasions I did that to, for other people.
Yeah, for other people. Then, that's why you will get back.
So must do more to get
back. Yeah. That's why whatever you do will come back to you. That is what law of karma is. You reap what you sow. A lot of people cannot understand. Wow, I earned this money the hard way. No, you just ask me to donate. Like this is nothing to do with whether people ask you or not. It's whether you understand or not. You have the means and you understand and you have that opportunity or condition to do it, and you do it with understanding, spontaneously do it, all this will come back to me. I look at my life, this life, actually I told you all before, I didn't do anything, no? Like very miraculous, no? Like I'm very lucky, very blessed, like everything go my way, no? Can't be so lucky, man. Oh, not only life, no? Academic, study, everything just fall into place. My life, my parents, my family, my children, like everything fall into place. Then I look back, how come like that one? Cannot be like that one. Sometimes it's like I say, if nature let you plan your life, you can never plan it in such a way that it can be so beautiful and so like blessed. So it's like more wonderful and more amazing than if nature were to allow you to plan. Also, you cannot plan so well. Everything turned out to be so much more beautiful and beyond your wildest dream. Sometimes I just amazed, wow, this thing can happen. How come the thing like that one, the perfection, the understanding, and the people I meet, and all those things that I came to understand and receive, it's like I knew these are very rare and almost impossible things. But like I said, if you are in this field, the spiritual field, and you are in this line, cultivating this way, you will meet them. You will actually encounter all these beings. Then you will develop the understanding how all these are possible. Everywhere I travel, I go, all these things manifest. And it's what nature is. So if you have the understanding, that's why I say life is so meaningful, so wonderful, so full of what they call joy, blessing, understanding. And you really, truly have that. The understanding to live life to the fullness. And that understanding is like you cannot find. And to have the understanding to share and teach people is also a very wonderful and rare thing. That's why I used to share with Paramita. A lot of things that my teacher shared with you all, I didn't learn this life. It's from the past. And all this sharing is very difficult to come by. But somehow, the condition is there, it just manifests. That's why our coming retreat will be a very unique one, very good one, this second half of October. So I think another 2 months, yeah, 2 months, September, October, yeah. Very fast, yeah. Tomorrow 16 already, yeah. So another 2 months. So hopefully, we all will be there, and all this. This time, I have a feeling a lot of Kayamita will progress, will benefit, and a lot of things will happen at the retreat. So let's see how it goes. The condition will manifest. Otherwise, it cannot be happening that way. All the causes and conditions, they just fall into place. And the thing we do and all these things, we never plan, no. But everything just falls into place. So. And the amazing thing is like the Tang Jia mentioned to Pamasri, he said, please understand, you all are the only meditation group that last time applied one all. They only approved for our group to have the retreat this year. So they didn't accept anybody else. Then they say, please make full use of it and don't disappoint them. And we full of joy. And I tell Pamasri, tell Tang Jia, don't have to worry. We will make full use of it and we will rejoice. And this time, I think we are going to donate more from our Kayamita Fund so that we can support the San Bao Si in a bigger way, because now the MCO over, things has come back to normal, then we can actually make full use of the strong Kayamita funding that we received over the last 3 years. So we are going to spend more. Yeah, you continue. Sorry. Yeah.
Brother, the other experience was in the office. So recently, actually before that, I also know, but this time it was like more aware of it.
Oh, sadhu.
So everyone in the office, all departments are always very busy. So I realized that they will try to push their work to you.
Correct.
Yeah. So it has been happening so many times
over the past
few years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like I think a few weeks ago my colleague asked me in the morning, Emmanuel, have you seen this email? So when I heard her asking, I know not good already.
Yeah.
So I look at the email, when I look, I also don't feel happy. Because the other side trying to push their work.
That's how
I interpret it.
Correct, yes.
So I cannot say I don't want to do also, right? So I went to speak to my boss. I, of course, I didn't say, hey, I don't want to do this.
No need to say that.
I asked him whether he knows about that. So it was in the morning, and when he saw that email himself, even worse. He immediately asked me to go and see him, and he was like, kick dong like that.
He wants to resolve it. He wants to tell the other side.
But he didn't tell. He asked me to go and tell.
Which is good. You just use his name. I have a message from my boss. I think this is what he want me to convey to you. I hope you understand. Then sometimes if, let's say, your boss give work to you, you don't have another boss to go to and complain or say anything. So what I do is I teach you this, and this one work very well. So if they were to give me a lot of job, where they know I'm very good, I resolve things very fast, then every time a problematic one, you go and see Theo, is it? He can sort it out for you, is it? So they come and see me. Then I will go back to my boss and tell him. Actually, he was the partner of the company. So I will go and tell him, which is priority. I already got so many things on my desk. I say, which is priority? I say, the meeting now or clash. Which one you want me to attend? Then he looked at me. Oh yeah, you got so much thing there. Okay, which one you think you can pass to me? Then I said, you can attend this two, then I attend that one. Well, I know he did not attend that one. Well, that one very hot. That one I can sort it out. But I have to push back two other smaller ones where he can attend on back to him. Okay, this two I go attend for you. Is it? You go that one. Is it? Well, he did not go for that one. That one he cannot bamboo, he cannot answer. But for me, I have the understanding, the experience. That's why these are the skillful way to do it. You don't have to worry because it's not for you to solve all these things. So they are the management, they are the partner. They have to actually solve it and resolve it. So what you need to tell them is ask them back, which is priority, which one you want me to attend first or do first. Because all this is given to me. Then according to them, it's all equally urgent. But then, if I can handle, I handle. If I cannot handle, I will go and talk to him. I say, I think you need to get more staff. Because this one, the meeting will start to clash, then you will have a lot of problems. Then they will have to look into it and say, okay, I get you one engineer. Then after that, you'll send the engineer over. Then I'll pass all the easier thing to do on to him. Then he take over. Then I don't have to attend those meetings. Where this one, the new graduate or a less experienced engineer can handle, provided I guide him. Then they look at the file, then they talk to me. Then I say, oh, okay, this one you follow this file. Last time I have done it before. Then they read out. Then they like it so much. They learn so much. And they learn so fast. Even one Indian engineer, he liked to be under me. He went talk to the boss. He said, I want to be under Mr. Teo. Then the boss asked him why. He said, he got a lot of things to teach people on. He said, oh. He came and talked to me, and he realized the thing that I gave, the work and how I train people are very different. They develop a lot of experience very fast, and they get after them promoted very fast. Then he was very keen, that's why he came and see me. Then I explained to him, I said, okay, if you want, I talk to the boss, then you come under me. So that's why I took him in. Then before I left the company, I actually told him, you can go and talk to the boss. The company car, I don't use really. You talk to the boss. Maybe he will pass it to you. I really pass it to him. Then after that, 1 year later, he met me. He said, Mr. Teo, he said, thank you so much. I said, why? He said, your car, I don't know why. He said, the car, like, he got a very severe accident. Nothing happened to him. His driver's seat, the door there, that car that skidded smashed into him, four-wheel drive, big and heavy fellow. He said, he thought gone already. Come down, nothing happened. Then, the door damaged now, the door badly damaged. He said, everybody thought he gone already. But it's just a proton, not a special car. It's this proton one already. The 1.5 one, they call it. proton vira, just a proton vira. He said, luckily, I said, I think you, he know I meditate. You also know. He said, I think your energy there. I say, I have been using that car for 6 years. I say, maybe you lucky. I say, he said, other car gone. Especially proton, no? How can tahan that type of accident? So a lot of things of that is how you understand it. Meant to be will be. Okay, so your one, how finally resolve. You can summarize and end. We have 10:32 already.
Yeah, resolve. Actually, the part I wanted to say was I realized that, you know, if that person pushed to me, I do not need to be so angry.
Yeah, no need. No need to be upset also.
Yeah.
Just accept the reality. Because
yeah.
This is life. This is existence. The reality is selfish people do selfish things. Thing is just the way it is. So understand
yeah.
it.
Yeah, because
attend to it and resolve it. Yeah.
Because sometimes the one who push me can be my close friend.
Correct. You never know.
Yeah.
And they normally has a reason because they can't take it already and they cannot handle.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes I also felt pitiful for them. I said, it's okay. I said, you can pass to me. Because for me, I can handle it very fast, very easily. So I don't mind. But most of the time, I will like guide them and let them resolve it.
But it can also be my karma that last time maybe I pushed now.
Yeah, you'll come back to you. Yeah, that is what you did also. But it sometimes depends. Sometimes it's like there is such condition for such thing. It depends on the motive of that person. If his motive is negative, I tell you, he will kena kawan. He will boomerang back. Like last time when I was with the listed company, the ED, he tried to be funny. He wants to remove me. He's scared I spoil his fun wound, spoil his rice bowl. Because I very good and very experienced. He very scared the MD asked me to take over the project from him. Then I found out quite a few things not in order. But I am not the one that immediately report and try to create I actually don't do anything. For me, I know. I just let things be. You got condition, then maybe it will come out. No condition, I just let it be. Yeah. These are things that life, existence, manifest. So what happened was, he out of fear, he tried to remove me by saying a lot of lie, negative thing to the boss. Then the boss called me in. And I feel strange. You know, one day he called me in 3 times. You know, I said, normally he called me in 1 time, settle. Yeah, he himself also confused. Then after that, the 3rd time I went in, I tell him straight away in the face, I said, either you trust me or you don't trust me. You don't trust me, very simple. This job, you take it back. I said, you give it back to whoever who wants to handle. Then he straight away knew something wrong. He said, no, I don't mean that. I said, you wait. Then he called in the QS. Then the QS come in and testify one thing. Then he knew already. He said, tell the ED not to interfere anymore. Everything deal in charge. Then he know that ED lied to him. Then he checked who attended the meeting. And the head of the QS cannot lie here in front of me. He said, Theo, attend. The ED didn't attend. He said, didn't attend. So straight away, he sort out the thing and he co-storage him. Yeah, the thing all come out after that. Yeah, after that, he wants to know more about that project. He interested and he asked me, that is a project I claim extra 40 million for you. So a lot of this type of thing can happen. Then it boomerang back that ED got cold storage. I didn't do anything. Then things just manifest and he get into trouble. So a lot of these things, you just let things be, it will just unfold. And karma will take its course. That's why the mental intention behind what you do very important. No negativity. No delusion. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu. Let have been let the end. Thank you. Okay, let us rejoice with the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. So we will share merits. Akasatta Devanaga Mahindika Punyantang Anumoditva Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadang Punya Sampadang Sabbe Deva Anumodantu Sabbasampati Siddhya Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatayo. Devo vasatukhalina sasasampati hetoja. Hito bhavatu lokoja. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, let's pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end the whole Zoom sharing.